Calling all detectives. The average detective doesn't make much money, but I was once given $1 million to spend as I pleased. That is the situation on this page from my casebook, the casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Most people like me, Jerry Browning, in my business, private detective, don't get rich. But sometimes they get to handle an awful lot of money.
Don't stay long, Mr. Browning. Jared is a very sick man.
I understand. I'll make it as fast as possible. The old man on the bed was little more than a pair of dark, alert eyes and the fierce will to live a little longer.
About time you got here, Brownie. Can't expect a man to hang on forever, you know.
I smiled at him. You got a long way to go, Mr. Jared, so take it easy. The old man tried to prop himself up on an elbow. Failed.
He's a liar, Browning. But I'll overlook it this time. I'm as good as dead, and you know it.
The big dark eyes burned into mine.
You an honest man, Browning?
I grinned at him. Reasonably honest, Mr. Jared. I make more money that way. The ancient head nodded.
You'll do, Browning. Call in John Pettit. He's my confounded lawyer in t'other room. Aim to make me a new will. I'm leaving you all my money. Close to $1 million. And I'm leaving you a job. You find out who that money rightfully belongs to, and you take off it as much as you think is coming to you for a fee. And don't forget, you're an honest man.
A dying man willed me $1 million and told me to find out who should really get the money. 3 weeks later, Jarrett's lawyer and I faced a room full of Jarrett's relatives. Under the provisions of the late Mr. Jarrett's will, Mr. Browning here is the sole legatee. Jarrett's nephew jumped to his feet.
You can't get away with this, Browning. We'll go to court, have the will broken.
I shrugged. Take it easy, everybody. I intend to follow Jarrett's instructions. Find out who really deserves the money. And as soon as I figure it out, you'll all hear from me. Later, I had a private conference with John Pettit, the lawyer. You have a great responsibility, Mr. Browning. One I don't envy you. I know just what you mean. I've got $1 million, only none of it's mine. And I haven't the slightest idea of how to find out who should have it. I assume you're considering Mr. Jarrett's quite considerable number of relatives? Yeah. But I can't help thinking. If Jared wanted any of his relatives to have the money, why didn't he leave it to him directly? That, Mr. Browning, is for you to determine. I spent the next couple of weeks ducking reporters and running investigations of Jarrett's relatives. He had two brothers, a sister, a flock of nephews and nieces, and a couple of dozen cousins of assorted degree. Jarrett's relatives checked out like people anywhere. Some high-minded, some selfish, some honest, a few not so honest. I tried to project myself into the mind of a dying old man. At a moment like that, he'd be trying to square his conscience, make amends of some kind. Maybe repay somebody he'd cheated. Okay, but why couldn't his lawyer handle that? Why did he need a detective unless... Right there, I knew I had it. Jarrett picked a detective because there was crime involved. Now all I had to do was find the crime. Two days later, I was on a plane bound for Casper, Wyoming. It had taken me that long to find out where Jared had originally made his money. And where a man makes his money is the general area in which his conscience sometimes bothers him. Over the years, I've learned that for certain kinds of information, the place to go is a tavern or bar. And at the Silver Dollar Cafe,
Henry Jared, no can't say as ever here to him, but I'm kind of a stranger in these parts. Only been tending this bar 18 years. Reckon you better ask Pop Bentley. He's an old-timer.
Well, where'll I find Pop Bentley?
You'll find him sleeping on the sunniest part of the porch.
Well, When I finally located Pop and roused him, he cocked a shrewd eye at me.
Jared? Nope, don't remember him. But if I had a few drinks, it might jog my memory.
The old-timer's idea of a few drinks was a full bottle. But after a while, his tongue loosened.
Yep, that Hank Jarrett was a smart one. He didn't sell out his claim like some t'other fellas. And that Hank, him and Joe Lawson, I reckon they must have took out close to $1 million in dust without anybody ever knowing where the place was. Lots of fellas tried following him. Tried it myself one time. Led me up and down the desert and finally lost me. Almost died of thirst before I got back. Yep, that Hank Jarrett was a smart one.
He sure must have been. And by the way, what became of Joe Lawson?
He died. More than one fella died back in them days. Weren't good manners to ask just how.
I get it. Pop, how would you like to try to locate the Jarrett claim with me?
Sure would. For $10 a day. Who in the world ever heard of prospecting from an aeroplane?
It's a different world, Pop. And I've got to save time. It was at the sixth lonely, deserted claim that we investigated that we finally found what I was looking for.
Yep. This one's it. And here's where Hank buried his partner after shooting him in the head.
All right, Pop. Cover up the grave again. This is all I needed to know. Locating Lawson's family was a job all by itself, but strictly routine, even though it took 3 months. I had a tough time explaining to them why they were suddenly worth $1 million, but not nearly as tough as the time I had with Jarrett's relatives. In the end, I had to tell the relatives the truth, that Jarrett had been a murderer and would be branded one if there was any lawsuit over his money. That settled it. There was no lawsuit. As for me, I could always claim that I had been worth $1 million. Once. Like I said, it isn't how much money you've got that matters, but how much of it you can really call your own. Listen next time to Calling All Detectives, Mystery Drama, Mystery Quiz, and a chance for you to match wits with yours truly, Jerry Browning, Private Detective.